This is a replay of our Sunday, January 29th church service. We hope you enjoy the sermon by Pastor Raph Gaudio. God bless you.
I'd just like to share a few scriptures this morning before we get into our service and begin to sing and worship and to magnify the Lord. If you have your Bibles this morning, you can turn with me just for a few verses. In Deuteronomy, I'm going through the book of Deuteronomy. What a wonderful book, the book of Deuteronomy. So much is in the book of Deuteronomy. And we thank the Lord for his word this morning. So Deuteronomy chapter 8, beginning at verse number 16. Deuteronomy chapter 8, beginning at verse 16. In the wilderness. How many have ever been in the wilderness? Okay. He fed you manna. He fed you manna that he might humble you and that he might test you. We all have to go through testings in life. If you've never been tested, you will be. You will be tested. But notice what the Bible says. To do good for you in the end. How many know the ending is always good? If we'll remain faithful to God. In whatever we're going through, whatever test we're going through, if we remain faithful to God, it's going to come out as good in the end. Good for you. Good for me. A blessing poured out upon our lives if we are willing to go through the time of testing. Otherwise, you may say in your heart, My power and the strength of my hand made me this wealth. How many know God blesses us? How many feel prospered here this morning? Can I see your hand? We are prospered by the hand of Almighty God. There's not a place on the face of the earth that's any more prosperous than right here in Creston, B.C. Can somebody say amen this morning? Amen. But you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he who is giving you power to make wealth. And you know what? I believe in that today, that if we serve the Lord, God is going to prosper us. It may not always come in the way you think, but God is going to bless us. I believe, now maybe I'm crazy. Don't answer that. Don't answer that. But I believe that God delights in blessing his people. Boy, I don't know if you really believe that or not. I'm gonna have to say that one more time. I believe that God delights in blessing his people. Yeah. Still pretty good, but. I believe that God delights in blessing and prospering his people. Praise God. And he'll use any means possible to pour into our hearts that which we need to serve him abundantly. Amen. Glory to God. And if we're faithful in the little things, God will give us even greater things if we are faithful to him in the name of Jesus. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you today for this service. We thank you today as we have gathered, Lord, that you are going to pour into us of your precious Holy Spirit. Lord, you're going to minister to us. We are anticipating the ministry of the Holy Spirit upon our lives, O God. We have not gathered religiously. We have not gathered because someone said we need to gather. No, we rejoice in gathering. We desire to come together, Lord, and receive all that you have for us today in this house. And Lord, we're going to give you all the praise and the glory and the honor in Jesus' name. Amen.
Morning, and let's just stand and worship the Lord and give our thanks and praise to Him, especially for this beautiful sunny day. You set me free. good God, isn't he?
Amen.
And we worship him this morning.
Strong, you heal our brokenness inside.
Praise the Lord. Amen. What a time of praise this morning in this place. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. We want to pray for someone this morning, and that's Caleb. And we're going to ask him to come forward this morning. He is leaving Creston, and he's heading to Australia in just a little bit. And so before we get into the word this morning, we just want to pray for this young man, that God will give him a safe journey and that everything will work out according to God's plan. So I'm going to ask the pastor's council to come. We're just going to pray for him this morning. In the name of Jesus, just stretch out your hands today. Just stretch out your hands. Yeah. In the name of Jesus, hallelujah. How many know Australia is a long ways away? Yeah. Can't get there by helicopter. And so this is a big step for him. Big step forward, and we're believing that God is going to minister to him in the name of Jesus. I can see that he's leaving next Sunday, February the 5th, and we recognize that he's going to need God's continual guidance and direction in his life. Father, we just thank you for Caleb, Lord, this morning. And we just pray over him today as he heads to Australia to this job that you have opened up for him, Lord. We pray that you will bless him. You will bless him as he travels. You will give him a safe journey there. Lord, I pray that his time in Australia will be a time of enrichment, that he would grow and develop in his walk with you, Lord. He will learn so many things from the Holy Spirit. And Father, we just cover him with prayer today. We pray for the family that has invited him. Lord, we know they're a Christian family. We pray that you will bless them. You will bless the farm, Lord, that he's going to be working at. Father, I just pray in every way that he will experience you in a more intimate way, like he's never experienced you before. Lord, I just pray into his heart, pray into his mind, pray into his spirit, that you will just touch him and minister to him in every way, Lord. We just thank you for his family today, Sylvia and Pastor Raff, Lord. I know they're going to miss him. We pray that as we continue to lift him up, Lord, you're going to continue your work. And so, Father, we just commit him today into your faithful hands. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. God bless you this morning. God bless you.
I got nothing. Pastor Dave, you want to come up? No. Just kidding. It's a joke. How you doing today?
Children can make their way to children's church.
Oh, sorry. Yeah. That's my fault. I want to ask you a question this morning. Think back to when you first heard the Word of God. You first read it. You first heard it spoken. How did it make you feel? Maybe you responded with all your heart. You're like, this is the truth. Maybe when you first heard it, you're like, meh. Ambivalent. Maybe it made you mad. Maybe you didn't understand it. You were confused. Maybe it made you upset or sad. The question is, how does it make you feel now? How do you respond to the Word of God now? Is your heart open to hear from the Word of God? Now, right this minute, today, maybe you're hearing all the time. I hope you are. I hope that you're listening to the Holy Spirit as He opens the Word to you and touches your heart. Amen. And that your heart is that good ground that the Lord Jesus talked about in Mark chapter 4. That the seed of the Word can go into and produce a crop of righteousness. And I'm believing that. You know, but the fact is that God does preparation in our hearts to be able to receive that Word. Because the thing is, even for the people of God, there are the thorns. There is the birds that hinder that seed from going down and producing that crop of righteousness. You know, the Word of God is powerful, okay? Like it is, and we can lose sight of that, I think. We take it for granted. We forget that when you hear the Word of God, it is a privilege. It is a feast, it can be. You know, and even if the messenger stumbles and stutters and so on and so forth, think, allow yourself to take a hold of what the true nugget is. That bread. Because we might not always have this privilege that we have right now. You know? There are places around the world where it is illegal to read the Word of God, to have the Word of God. So what do the people do? Hopefully they memorize some. Hopefully there's somebody bringing it secretly to them. All those kinds of things. I don't know if I've told you this story. There's some of you that probably know this. But I knew a guy. His name was Gilad in Israel. And Gilad had a wife who came to Yeshua, as her, and she named him as her Messiah. And you know, he wasn't into that. He didn't want anything to do with that. But he was a Jew. He grew up as an Orthodox Jew. So the word of God actually was in his heart already. The law, right? So she snuck a New Testament into his knapsack. And he used to go to Tel Aviv to go to work. And when he got there, he found it and he was very angry. Okay? Because to the Orthodox Jews, that book is a book of lies. Sometimes they say that book could actually kill a Jewish person if they read it. That's the kind of things they would say. Okay? Now, he didn't think that way because he was very secular. But he was mad that his wife snuck it in. So this is what he thought in his testimony. He said, well, what did I do? I read it. You know why? He said, because it would be a waste not to. Right? It'd be a waste. It's a book. You got to read it. So he read it. And the thing was, what he said was, I felt every emotion known to man. I was angry. I was confused. I was fearful. I was happy. And in the end, when he got to the book of Revelation, he shook. That's the power of the Word of God. When somebody reads the Word of God, something happens to them. And you know, sometimes we can say, well, you know, we need to be non-emotional or stoic. You know, we need to, you know, be reverent. Yes, we do need to be reverent. But you know what? God is the God of your emotions. He created your emotions. And sometimes His Word is going to affect your emotions. Because I tell you one thing, when we get convicted of our sin by the power of the Holy Spirit, when the Word of God is preached, maybe we're going to weep. Maybe we're going to grieve. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5, verse 3, blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. You know, oftentimes we take that verse for granted. We think, that's talking about those that have lost a loved one. In a sense, that's true. But what it really means is someone that's grieving for their sin. Someone who's grieving for someone else's sin. They shall be comforted. Amen. Why? Because there is hope. There is hope for them in the word of the Lord. There is hope that the Holy Spirit would actually come upon their hearts and touch them and bring them to repentance. Repentance. Somebody said recently, we don't preach repentance enough. She's right. You know, each one of us, as we are being sanctified in the Lord, and as we listen to the Word of God, and as He brings His Holy Spirit upon us to convict us of what we're doing right now, this minute, those secret thoughts, what's in your heart? We all deal with that. But church, this morning, it is a privilege to listen to the Word of God. Amen. And to allow Him to do what He wants to do, because there may be sadness for the night, but there's joy in the morning. And the joy of the Lord is our strength. In the book of Nehemiah, chapter 1, verse 4, this is just a bit of background. You remember Nehemiah? He was a cupbearer to the king. King Artaxerxes in Susa. Where was it? Susa. Where's that? Persia. Okay. So this was post-exile. Okay. For the children of Israel, for Judah. Okay. The Jews. Now, we remember what happened, the fall of Babylon. What happened? Cyrus the king, you don't have to answer, I'm gonna tell you. Cyrus the king defeated the Babylonians, okay? So he went into the city, and you remember the king Belshazzar, right? Do you remember the writing on the wall? So out of there, okay, there was a new king. Now this king had a heart for God, and God spoke to him. And you know what he said? He said, that he was going to build his house through him. So through his authority in the land of Persia, when the exile came to an end for the Jews in Babylon, there was somebody that was favorable to them in power. So what did he do? He wrote a decree and said, "This shall be done." So this was in the period where Ezra, the scribe, was in Babylon, and he was sent to Jerusalem to rebuild the temple. But here we are talking about Nehemiah. And it says, "The wall of Jerusalem was broken, and its gates had been burned with fire. He wept and mourned and fasted, and he sought the Lord, and he interceded and asked for his forgiveness for the people." Now, Ezra went in, rebuilt the temple, but now here, Nehemiah, just casually, in the very first chapter, he asks his friend Hananiah, "How's it going? How's the work going in Jerusalem?" Well, this is what was happening. They're dealing with broken walls, dealing with problems. So you know what happens? He prays, and guess what happens? God gives him a job. God brings him in. So Nehemiah, whose name means God brings comfort, Nehemiah said yes to God. And it started with a heart for the people. He interceded for them and asked for forgiveness because there was problems. There were problems from within and without. This was a season of rebuilding. You know what? The church has gone through a season of rebuilding. With COVID, we actually had to see what really matters for us. And we had problems from within and problems from without. Disputes from within and mocking and issues outside. Because that's actually what happened with Ezra at one point when he was rebuilding the temple. And when the walls started to be rebuilt, the city walls, okay. Sorry, I just had a brain freeze there. That during that period of time, there was opposition from three people: Sanballat, Geshem, and Tobiah. And they mocked the people of God. They accused and they ridiculed them and made it really difficult for them to proceed with the rebuilding. Because you have a temple, okay, the temple was rebuilt, it was restored, okay, but you need to have the protection of the city walls. That needed to be done. That work had to be done. So God led this, and he gave favor to Nehemiah with the king, as he'd given favor with Ezra. The two men of God that God called. Ezra was a scribe, skilled with the law of God, and Nehemiah was a cupbearer, but he became the governor. Okay? So this is how it all started. You tracking with me so far?
Yeah.
Okay. So this was 445, 420 BC was when this was written. And it's the return of the remnant. Exile. Why were the people of Israel in exile? Why were they 70 years in Babylon? Discipline. God was disciplining his people. And you know something? In that time, as you remember, you know, you think back to Daniel. You think back to Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Was the word of God plentiful in that place? Daniel got in hot water, thrown into the lion's den for praying. Right? For praying. There is no public reading of the word of God going on. In fact, you know what's happening? A famine of the word of God. A famine of the prophetic word as well. These people were starving. But those that were trained in the Word of God, like Ezra, like Nehemiah, they had to go down deep. Right? They had to keep going. They had to believe that God's Word was true, and they weren't going to stay there. And God was faithful. God does not fail. Can you imagine? You're not exposed to the Word of God for years. You slightly remember God. You remember those stories you heard. Well, look at our nation right now. Look at how parents have no longer taught their children the Word of God. It's maybe something in the back of their minds they don't remember anymore. The kids don't know anymore. Where are they living? They're living in Babylon. But the Word of God does not fail. The Word of God is true and right. And the Spirit of God works on prepared hearts, because even now it's not hopeless. Because in the midst of what we see around now, what's happening, God is preparing hearts. God is preparing the remnant.
Amen.
Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 5 and 6. Ezra opened the book. So this is when all the building was finished, okay? And the people have settled the land, and they are before Ezra, and he opens the book, and Nehemiah is there. And it says here, Ezra opened the book in the sight of all the people, for he was standing above all the people. And when he opened it, all the people stood up. Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God, and the people answered, Amen, Amen, while lifting up their hands, and they bowed low and worshiped the Lord with their faces to the ground. Such reverence for God. You know, earlier in the chapter, at the beginning of the chapter, we find that the people were listening to the Word of God from early in the morning to midday. 6-7 hours maybe. Can you imagine? Listening to the Word of God for all that time. You know why? Because the people were starving. Ezra, prior to this point in time, with those that had rebuilt the temple, had actually come to the people, and he brought them to a place of repentance. Because there was sin in the camp. There was sin amongst the people. And some of the preparatory work that he did prior to this moment was he interceded with the people. He cried out to God. He asked for forgiveness, and he began teaching them the Word. He was preparing their hearts. So here we come to the point when the city walls were finished, the people's hearts were prepared to listen to the Word of God. Okay? And then what is the result? There's this reverence. There's a reverence for God. You gotta remember, they were in rebellion before. They had been in exile. But now it's a people that are reverent for God. How do we come to church ourselves? Are we coming to church looking for something for us? Or do we come with reverence because God is good, and because God's Spirit is in the church, and because He's going to speak to us, and He's going to change our hearts, because we have a Savior that loves us so much that He set us free, that we can be this body, that we can live in freedom? Reverence. It's not condemnation. It's for me too. I want to revere God. Fear Him. Not fear Him in a way, I'm whistling again. I hate that. Excuse me. Their hearts were prepared. They were on their faces before God. They didn't care. But what is my neighbor going to think? Don't care, because God is holy. I want to be before Him, and I want to give Him the glory and the honor He deserves. Deuteronomy 10, 12. And now, Israel, what does your Lord God require of you but to fear Lord your God and walk in his ways and love him and serve him, the Lord your God, with all your heart and all your soul. That sounds familiar, right? Because that's what Jesus quoted that. Deuteronomy is a good book. This is what they were doing. They were obeying the law. They were walking in obedience. They were happy to do so. They knew the word of God. Their hearts were prepared to act on it. Amen? Amen? You hearing me? You still tracking with me? You sure? Okay. Deuteronomy 10, 20 to 21. You shall fear the Lord your God. You shall serve him, cling to him, and you shall swear by his name. Now, we know later on Jesus said not to swear, but this was the law. He is your glory and he is your God who has done these things, great and awesome things for which your eyes have not seen. So this touched them, okay? The word of God. This is the law, remember, right? This is the law. But for us, we have a Savior that fulfilled the law. We have Jesus that went to the cross and gave us freedom, cleansed us with his blood, brought us back to God the Father, gave us his Holy Spirit. How much more, as the people of God, do we want to revere him? Hebrews chapter 12, 28 and 29 says, therefore, since we receive a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let's show gratitude by which we may offer God an acceptable service with reverence and awe. For our God is a consuming fire. Has God changed? No, he hasn't. It's the same God. Calls us to revere his name. Are we a people that revere God? When we listen and respond to his word, we will. Verse 7. Also, Yeshua. Okay, so we got a few difficult names here, so we're going to try and get through that part. Yeshua, Bani, Sherev, Bia, Yamin, Akub, Shababetal, Hodia, Masae, Kelita, Azariah, Yozabad, Hanan, Pelia, and the Levites explained the law to the people while the people remained in their place. They read from the book of the law of God, translating it and giving the sense so that they understood. It was important for the people to understand, right? It's important that we hear the word of God exposited and explained, right? So part of that too was that it was also translated because the people spoke Aramaic, okay? And the word of God was in Hebrew. So this had to be translated. Second Timothy 4, 1 and 2 says, Paul writes this, I solemnly exhort you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is the judge of the living and the dead, and by his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word, be ready in and out of season, correct, rebuke, exhort with great patience and instruction. This is our calling. This is what we're called to do. And this is what we continue to do as a church during this time. And we will continue to do so. Are your hearts prepared to receive what God has for you? Time in, day in and day out. Each time you come to service. I hope so. I feel like this is a time where God is really focusing in on his church. And I think it's important that we respond. The Apostle Paul also said in Romans 10:15, how can anyone preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring the good news. You know, I remember a story, well, actually it was something I saw. It was a pastor who went to Pakistan. Okay? And I won't tell you his name because, Pakistan is kind of a sensitive place. But he went to the church there. He was invited. And he showed a video of him arriving at this big meeting that they announced secretly. Okay? You think about the people prepared in a furnace of affliction, Pakistani people. You know, where would they have come from? From Islam, right? From that oppressive religion. And here they were coming to meet this man of God who they honored. Like, it was incredible because they came and they put, you know what a lay is? They put one after another, after another, after another. Right up to here. And the music was playing and he was standing there and it looked so funny. But you know what? I wept when I saw that. Because it's like, they are so hungry for the word of God. And here, the way they express that is they're showing their honor to this man. Because he was the preacher. He came to preach the word of God. And their hearts were ready to receive. And he preached for hours. He told us he preached for hours and hours. But you know, that man, he was so humbled. Like I say, it was just the Spirit of God. When I saw this, the Spirit of God just touched my heart. I thought, that's just so beautiful, these people. In Mark 4, 8 and 9, it says, other seeds fell on the good soil, and as they grew up, increased, they yielded a crop that produced 30, 60, and 100 times as much. And he was saying, he who has ears, let him hear. Amen. Hallelujah. Another man I knew, his name was Bishop Wycliffe Amai from Kenya. And he as well told us about when they planted a church in Kenya. I can't remember the city. There was a parade. And all the town came to celebrate a church being open in that city. Wow. The people were hungry for the word of God. You know, and this was a people that there was different parts of that nation that they were starving so much that when they brought food to those people, they actually were so hungry they ate the flour that they brought raw. They were so hungry, physically. Never mind spiritually. They had a parade. You know, and it's, again, it's, that guy's just a man. But he represents the word of God. The preacher came to preach the word of God. Amen. And the people were ready. Because they'd been in a furnace of affliction. And they knew their sin because the Holy Spirit convicted them of their sin. And they knew it. They're ready. Because the Spirit is active. And we know, all of us know that the Holy Spirit has many roles. But in the situation with Nehemiah and the Jews that arrived there, they were humbled. They were convicted of their sin. And the Holy Spirit was working on them as well. We know that the Holy Spirit is a comforter, a counselor. He empowers us. There's all these different roles. I'm just mentioning that in case somebody says, well, you forgot about these things, Pastor Ra. Well, no, I didn't. Those are the roles, but right now we're dealing with conviction of sin. Jesus said in John 16:8, when he comes, he will convict the world of sin and guilt in regards to sin, righteousness, and judgment. Verse 10, and he said to them, go eat the festival foods, drink the sweet drinks, send the portions to him who has nothing prepared, for this day is holy to the Lord. Do not be grieved. So in the grieving that was going on, where the people had grieved, where they were mourning, Nehemiah says, don't be grieved, don't mourn. This is a time for joy. The joy of the Lord is our strength. How many know there is a time to weep? And there's a time to laugh. There's a time to mourn. And there's a time to dance. You know, I think a lot of us have been grieving lately. A lot of us have maybe been mourning for our sin or for other sin. But you know what? The joy of the Lord is our strength. You know, and what that really means is the joy of the Lord is a tower. That's what it really means. a fortress. Because when you have your joy in the Lord, you can get some perspective. The situation around you doesn't matter as much because you know that God is faithful. Because our God does not fail.
Amen.
It's a place of strength. The joy of the Lord. You know that the Westminster Catechism says man's chief aim is to glorify God and to enjoy Him forever. Do we enjoy God? He's meant to be enjoyed. You know? Because that time of when we come to a place of mourning and repentance of our sin or for others. But eventually, we get to that place of joy because we know He is faithful. We know He is just. We know He answers prayer. And if our heart is prepared, we're going to receive that. And the Word of God is going to produce something in our lives and in our hearts. You know, the people had to be told because there was actually a festival going on. It was the Feast of Trumpets. You know, but they were just, you know, they just were so broken. And Nehemiah had to lead them and say, no, it's time to rejoice. The joy of the Lord is our strength. What did Paul say? Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Let's say it together. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. You guys look like you're reverent, but you're not joyful. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. You can't make it happen. But you know what? The Holy Spirit can. I don't want to make it happen. Because it's not real then. It's not real. But the Spirit of God will do it. You just open your heart to Him and to His Word. And He will bring you that joy. Amen. Hallelujah. Time to mourn and time to dance. You know, as a Baptist pastor in the past, I didn't dance much. But I did dance here. But I did. And it was fun. I'm not going to do it now, but... It's coming. It's coming. We have a lot to be joyful about. And, you know, again, it's a place of strength. When we forget to enjoy God, God made things to be enjoyed. When we feast, okay, we're going to be eating together. Well, these are things that we can enjoy. God made these things. This, when we enjoy the things He made, we give glory to Him. Amen. Don't enjoy it too much, though. No, just kidding. But see, we give glory to Him. Amen. You know, and there's joy in fellowship because it's centered around Him. Yeah. Right? Yeah. Because our source of joy is God. Yeah. And it's a source of strength. Yeah. You know, again, there's a time to be stoic. There's a time to be serious. There's a time to mourn with people. You don't start dancing around when someone dies. Right? We know that. Oh, don't worry, he's in heaven. You know, like, yes. But be...
Yes. <Mine too.
laughs> I have permission. Okay. Well, I just want to leave you with... The end of these two verses, but I have something I want to share. So the Levites silenced the people and said, be still, for this day is holy. Do not be grieved. It was holy. It was a celebration according to the law. They were allowed to be joyful. Okay? Then all the people went away to eat, drink, and send portions to celebrate a great feast because they understood the words which had been made known to them. The preacher preached and they understood. It was translated, they understood. They got it. They responded. I want to share a little story. I have a video clip. I don't like to use video clips too often, but I can't give this justice just by telling you the story. So I will just give the background. And it was, there were some missionaries that came from Pennsylvania. They came from Amish background. Their names were Doug and Gloria Zook. Very salt of the earth people. They had a desire to go and serve the Lord overseas. And they were rejected at first by the mission board. They didn't have enough education. They didn't have enough anything that they wanted to see. But they didn't give up, and they ended up getting some special training with a mission group called New Tribes Mission. And in 1984, they went to Papua New Guinea, and there they ministered to a tribe called the Mook people. They were a very small tribe in the remote area of New Guinea. And they studied the people, understood how they tick, and they came up with a strategy on how to reach them. And what they realized was these people were wonderful people. They had lots of joy, but the darkness that was over them was that they were bound to their ancestral spirits, and they were involved in this kind of worship that was dark. And to deal with sin, you know what they had to do? They had to kill the offender. Whoever broke their tribal laws, they would have to kill. And there was this cloud of pain and sorrow and darkness over this tribe. Well, the strategy came about that Mark and his wife Gloria were going to share the Word of God in their language through oral translation, through story, the Word of God, with the help of a translator, and actually he had learned the language as well, from creation to the cross. Okay, so this was a people whose hearts were prepared. Okay, now, the thing that was so amazing was that the people were so ready and so gripped by what was going on. A woman who was pregnant stayed there and wouldn't leave until she even had her baby, like, outside the meeting. There's even people that were sick that stayed and listened until they went through the whole part. Now, this is where they get to the cross, and I want to show you what happened. I couldn't do that justice, so I wanted to show you that. See what happens when prepared hearts receive the Word of God. The Holy Spirit moves. I just invite you to stand. Let's pray together, reach out to our Heavenly Father. God, we just thank you. We thank you for your word. We thank you for how you prepare our hearts to receive afresh, even in times of grieving. We thank you that your word even causes us to grieve for our sin and mourn and recognize that, and that your Holy Spirit Holy Spirit works. Amen. In spite of what it looks like. Lord, help us to be a people that allow our hearts to be that heart that receives your word, your good word, that does not go from your mouth and return to you void. That we would live by your word, not by bread, but by every word, not bread only, but by every word that proceeds from your mouth, O God. What a testimony, Lord. And I know that there are testimonies even in our midst of the amazing things you've done. Been our portion when there was not enough. Part of the sea that we needed to get through. Move the mountain that was in our way. Because you do not fail. Your word is yes and amen. Your promises are yes and amen. So Lord, may we truly be a people that revere you. That we would be a people that receive your word with gladness. And that the joy of the Lord is our strength. That we would dwell in that joy. Thank you, Jesus. I pray that you would touch us afresh today by your Spirit. Who is like you, Lord? We honor you and praise you. Glory to you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. I'm just going to ask the musicians to come forward, please.
Thank you for listening. We hope you enjoyed that message. Have a wonderful day, and God bless you.